Blog Talk Radio.
Where you at, Vincent? That was the Fruit Bat National Anthem. Fruit Bat National Anthem.
Okay. Well, folks, I hate the way this show has begun. I am in the host queue right now.
Hey, Vincent.
Hey, what's up, man? Let me...
I really enjoyed that fruit bat. National anthem.
Yeah. Wow, I tell you, it's kind of crazy how this, how Blog Talk is... It's real crazy. Let me see if I get connected here. Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Vincent.
Okay, good.
If you want to, you can say the national anthem again, because I know that Ironsdale, he's listening and he's happy.
Yeah, he's not here yet, but here's the problem. I called in to the show, and I used their direct call-in method, and right before the show began, it says you have lost connection, and so I try to call into the show, and it says, well, the host is already called in, and it's only one host per show. And I'm like, but how in the world are you saying that I'm still called in? And I can't even talk on the show. You know, it's so I had to use the guest call in, and that's what I'm using right now is the guest call in number. So I guess I'll do it like this for today. It's crazy. And I tried to use Skype to call in. Skype wouldn't go through. And I'm sitting here like, why in the world isn't Skype going through? And I looked at my account and everything. Everything's up to par, but it just wouldn't go through. And I'm like, what in the world is going on here? You know, so I guess it's something I got to figure out. I don't know if it's a Blog Talk Radio thing or if it's something on my end or whatever. But, hey, I'm here. So I guess the show got to go on. I made a promise last week that I was going to have a show today, and by doggone it, I'm going to have me a show today. So, you know, I'm going to keep my promise. So what's up with you, Pianca? You in awful early.
I ain't early. We usually come in at 4 o'clock. It's almost 5 o'clock, ain't it?
Yeah, because I put the show off till 5:30 so that, if there arose any problems, I have enough time to take care of them, and I'd be doggone if I didn't have a problem. So, But I'm here. I don't see anyone else here except myself. I'm going to go ahead and go on with the show.
Well, I'm here. I was trying to. I've been having some computer problems. Software problem, not software, but program problems, but I think I pretty much got them partially taken care of. But other than that, I've been taking it easy.
Well, that's good. You enjoyed the 3-day weekend?
Yeah, I don't have nothing to do beyond it, so.
I'm supposed to be kind of busy this weekend because my wife, she told me at the beginning of the week, she said, you're going to cook this weekend. And, you know, I said, oh, boy, all right, I got to cook then. You know, and so I cooked up breakfast this morning. I'm supposed to be hanging up some pictures this weekend. That should help. But we'll see how things turn out and whatever. So, but I'm trying to take it easy this weekend. My wife and I were supposed to see the new movie, Uncle Tom Part 2, tonight as well. So, you know, we're continuing on our documentary. Say that again.
Is that showing in some cut rate place or is it a regular movie?
It's a, I guess you could call it a cut rate place. It's a streaming service called Salem Now And I got part one, but I actually got part one on Apple iTunes.
Hell, it was and free every place. You paid for
it? Yeah, I paid for it, yeah.
It's free every place. We had that up back way back when.
Really? But I couldn't find a place where I could get it for free.
They probably took it off of YouTube.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they probably took it off of YouTube because YouTube got to go a little woke right now. But the only place I could find it was iTunes, and it was like $20 on iTunes.
You know who that is, though. That's probably some black folks is making money off of black folks.
Probably. That's probably what it is.
Selling stuff that was free. I got the damn CDs. I've had the CDs. I don't know where they are now. Ain't nothing to it. Old movie based on colonial period. So the picture is terrible. And it's probably a bunch of bias in there. Because they don't show no black slaveholders.
Wow, okay. Well, I know the streaming service that I get it from now is it's a conservative streaming service called Salem Now. They have a lot of Dinesh D'Souza type stuff and all that in there. And I think that might be my go-to.
I don't know why they would have what's the name of Goodbye Uncle Tom?
Oh, that's an old movie, isn't it? Goodbye Uncle Tom.
Yeah, what's the name of this one you're talking about?
It's Uncle Tom 2. It's a documentary.
Yeah.
It talks about the various black conservatives out there who speak out against black liberalism and things like that. It features people like Larry Elder and all those cats and everything. It's a documentary. Yeah, it just came out Tuesday, I believe it was, Monday or Tuesday, this past Monday and Tuesday. And my wife and I, we're supposed to see it tonight, you know, watch it tonight.
I see where they coming from now. Yeah, well, it's okay. I mean, check it out.
Yeah.
Tell me how it is.
Yeah, it's the same streaming service where I saw 2,000 Mules.
Oh,
same
okay.
streaming service. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, they use the same names and stuff. So I probably seen it. I was thinking it was something else, but maybe it's not. But I'm sure you'll enjoy it.
Yeah, because I saw the first one.
If they're talking about black conservative, you might even see me up in there.
That'll be good. Yeah, because I saw the first one a couple of years ago, and it was pretty good. I had to watch it again because I only watched it one time. And my wife, you know, she made sure that we're going to see the second one. I was like, oh, you ain't got to tell me twice, you know, because it's something I want to see. So trying to add to my documentary collection, you know, of informative videos about what's going on in the world today. And one thing I had to say, though, I would say he's my president, but I think he's your president because I think you voted for him. Mr. Joe Biden. My gosh, I don't know what to say about this dude. I really don't know what to say about him. If no one realizes that this man is incompetent to be president right now, I don't know what to say about you. I really don't. I'm not sure you saw his speech the other night.
I listened to it. Somebody was playing it. I didn't take time out to listen to him. But I didn't know it was much background noise and people somewhere shouting at him in the background. Was that true?
Yeah, I heard that they were saying, the mantra, F Joe Biden.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I heard some of that was said to my wife. She watched the whole thing, and she was just disgusted. Cause,
like they was at the stadium, the football stadium, huh?
Yeah, and he had a blood red background, which the optics of his speech was just terrible. I mean, it was just like, you got to be kidding me, you know? And he had two Marines standing behind him.
Were they real?
And a lot of people. Yeah, they were real Marines, and people were trying to criticize the Marines and saying, what are they doing back there? But see, we got to understand, these people are just doing their jobs, you know, whether they agree with the president or not, they're just doing their jobs. And I'm pretty sure that those Marines, they probably didn't agree with Joe Biden's speech, but they're just there doing their jobs. Because
well,
Joe Biden...
His speech was messed up. He kept using the word democracy. You know what he mean there, don't you? He's trying to get people to
vote.
That's what he's trying to do.
Yeah, exactly.
This country is not a democracy. We know what it is. But your democracy comes when you vote for your representative. That's your action toward democracy. And he must have used that word about 100 times.
Yeah.
And then he started criticizing MAGA. Make America great again. But yet instead, he went back in time and when America was a great manufacturing and production a nation, best in the world. Well, that's what MAGA means, make America great again. And you are actually doing it in your speech, using it as an example. Then he was playing patriotic music, and all along, he was against patriots, talking about MAGA people who are exercising their patriotism are evil and terrorists and all that stuff. So he's a damn fruitcake.
Yeah, and the thing about it is the next day he gets up there saying, I didn't say MAGA Republicans are the problem with this country. And I'm sitting there like, Mr. Biden, we got your speech from last night, less than 24 hours ago. And you said that they are the biggest threat to this country. The MAGA Republicans are the biggest threat to this country. And then he tried to walk back his comments the next day and say he didn't say that. But we heard him say it clear as day.
That's right. He lied. Then they like to come up with new words and new definitions.
Yeah, and I'm sitting there like, y'all, and I'm like, and you all had the audacity to uphold this person, say this was a better president than Donald Trump, and he does stuff like this, and he attacks basically half of the country, you know, 74 million people who voted for Donald Trump. He's saying that they are the reason why that this country is, you know, this country is messed up, or, you know, whatever he said in so many words, you know. And then he turns around the next day and he says, oh, well, I didn't say that. Yes, you did. But I don't think he's, to be honest with you, I don't think he's deliberately lying. I think the man, he's senile.
Well, they had him doing pretty good to make that speech.
Yeah, and I really think that he's getting his someone's putting words in his mouth. I really do believe that. Might be Barack Obama, might be Kamala Harris, or something like that.
Obama, but, you heard elements of Barack Obama in the speech.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. And that's what got me a little suspicious about his speech. I'm wondering if he said that of his own
submission.
or if someone said, hey, Joe, go ahead and say this. And he may have just, you know, read through it and everything. And that's probably why the next day he said, well, I didn't say that. Yes, you did, Joe. We can take you back to your speech and show you where you said MAGA Republicans are the biggest threat to this country today.
That's right. You're absolutely right.
And he's trying to walk that back and everything. And see, his commanders, the people who are telling him what to say, they're just holding back and they're saying, no, Joe said that. Nah, They're not going to come forward and say, we told Joe to say this. You know, they're just going to throw him under the bus. So.
No, they're not going to come out and say that. But, no, you had elements of Obama all in that. And you know, that makes you wonder where in the hell he's coming from.
Yeah.
It does. So, you know, that's 24. That's what you got.
Yeah. And when I, because the way the show started, you know, it started kind of recklessly as whatever, that's not what I wanted to talk about today, you know, because I'm pretty sure everybody's seen that and everything, but it just causes me to shake my head, you know. I don't know if you saw the meme on my Facebook, you know, these days I get most of my exercise from shaking my head in disbelief. And that's true to an extent. I'm like, y'all got to be kidding me. And this guy received 81 million votes. I mean,
well,
it's mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling.
I don't believe he received that much legally, but I hear what you're saying. I see where some Black Lives Matter leaders accused of siphoning off $10 million.
Oh, again?
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't heard this one.
So you have to wonder, where's the FBI on this?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they can raid Donald Trump's home, but they can't investigate stuff like this.
Did you look at that video that Glenn Beck, I think I messaged that to you on Facebook. You should look at that.
Yeah, you know what?
He got a time span set on exactly what happened and when it happened.
Let's see. Send a message to.
And they received $90 million in the wake of George Floyd's police killing. I don't understand people. Well, it wasn't all people. A lot of businesses who has that do what they do gave them money too. But I'm glad they stole it. So it served them right. The people that gave money to it.
Yeah.
Dumbass.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, they and report after report keeps coming out about them stealing the money that's been donated to them, buying $6 million mansions and buying expensive houses in white neighborhoods. I thought y'all were against white people, but you want to live in a white neighborhood. You don't even want to hang around your people, so to speak, you know, and people just keep donating to them. And I'm like, what is wrong with you people? Can you see that these people are actually using you? They are actually using you as a way to get money, and then they turn around and they're not even investing that money into our neighborhood. They're not investing that money into Black education. They're not investing that money to anyone else but themselves and their supporters. That's it.
Yeah, and why come this? They say that this foundation collected over $100 million. Why don't they pay toward student debt relief?
Exactly. I mean, you could just blow holes in their rhetoric all day long. I mean, you know, this organization called Black Lives Matter does not care about black people. All it cares about is their votes and their money. That's all it cares about.
Then they reserting back to blaming white supremacy in this story.
Of course. But the story I wanted to talk about today, we got somewhat of an update from a story that we first heard in 2007. And once again, it involves someone from Duke University.
Damn.
Once again, and I'm familiar with Duke University because I live here in Durham, North Carolina, where Duke University resides. And of course, we know about the Duke lacrosse situation when this black girl falsely accused these white Duke students from the lacrosse team raping her, gang raping her, and that was found out to be false. Well, we got to update to that story. We got to update to that story. I don't know if you heard about the who? What's this girl's name? Let me pull this girl up. Rachel Richardson.
Another Rachel.
19.
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Rachel Richardson. She's a 19-year-old sophomore at Duke University. She's a volleyball player.
Oh, we got to know how she swings.
And she, her team, Duke University, was at Brigham Young a few days ago. And, you know, this girl, she says when she was you know, playing, you know, they were playing volleyball and everything, she heard a racial slur come from the student section. And she said, well, maybe I didn't hear that right, you know. And she said, then she heard it again. And she kept hearing it during their entire match, someone yelling racial slurs at her. And so they kicked some gentleman out. I think he had mental problems or something like that. And they said he was accused of hurling the racial slurs at the Duke University volleyball players.
Mm.
Well. Now this is what can happen when you do proper journalism. Someone investigated the case, and no one in the student section could say that they heard anyone yelling a racial slur. Not only that, the people on the volleyball team, they said they couldn't hear a racial slur.
Mm.
And now the thing is, now everyone's saying they didn't hear a racial slur, but this girl is saying, well, my auntie heard it. Or her godmother or something like that. And her godmother, I don't know where her godmother lives or whatever, but she's trying to run for a seat. I don't have all the details of her, but she's trying to run for a seat on Congress. And her her Twitter page is just overrun with accusations against white people. White people this and white people that and white people this and white people that. Now, the investigation also revealed that the man who got kicked out of the game, he wasn't sitting in the student section, and finds out he wasn't yelling racial slurs. Now, here's the thing. This is the thing. How is it that this girl can hear racial slurs, but nobody else heard it? Nobody else heard it. She heard it, but, I mean, what is she, Aquaman or something? She got that fine-tuned hearing or something like that? And if the racial slurs were being hurled at her, why don't we go back to the match, play it over again, and then we can hear them? Because I'm telling you, if they were yelling racial slurs at her during a volleyball game doesn't have the fan base that a basketball or a football game does. And if they were hurling racial slurs at her, anybody should be able to watch a replay of that match and be able to hear those racial slurs. Now, she never specified what the racial slur was. She didn't say, I heard someone calling me the N-word. She just said, I heard someone calling me a racial slur. And I'm sitting there like, okay, here we go, Duke University. Here we go again. But you know what? Here's the problem. Here's the problem I have with stories like this. People don't care if you can hear the racial slur or not. This girl says she heard a racial slur, and we're going to believe her, by golly. We can't tell her what she heard or she didn't hear. She heard somebody saying that racial slur. Somebody said it. Why would she make that story up? Well, maybe it's because she wants the attention that she sees a lot of race hoaxers getting. And no, she won't be punished for it, probably. More than likely, she won't be punished for it. And she knows she can get away with it. But a lot of black people, they'll say, oh, well, she heard something. Okay, well, tell us what she heard. Now, if she's saying that they were yelling at her on the court, we should be able to play back that match and hear the racial slurs being hurled at her.
Well,
I mean,
what's going to happen with her now with this?
Nobody has said anything. Nothing's been said.
Well, I tell you what, they need to put her ass in jail. I think she did get some repercussions out of that.
Yeah, some people are calling for her because she's on scholarship. They're calling for her scholarship to be taken away. And I say, yeah, they should. I would kick her out of the school. I would just totally kick her out of the school. We can't have this.
And they need to file some civil suits on her.
Yeah, exactly. And see, she, in a way, I think this girl is smart. I'm going to tell you why I think she is smart. Brigham Young is a university named after, well, Brigham Young. And Brigham Young was a Mormon. Now, if anybody knows the history of the Mormons, when the Mormons came up, I think it was in the 1830s, if I'm correct. I got, you know, brush up on my history on them. But they were founded by, what's his name, John Smith. I think that's his name, John Smith. And when John Smith, he got killed by a mob, and so the leadership passed on to Brigham Young, and that's when they immigrated from, I think, the state of Illinois to the state of Utah. And Brigham Young, well, this is the doctrine of the Mormons. And a lot of people are not familiar with the Mormon doctrine. The Mormons, when they first came to fruition or whatever, they had this doctrine that Jesus, yeah, Joseph Smith, thank you. Thank you, Brigham Boye. When the Mormons say that Jesus and the devil, Jesus and Satan are spiritual brothers. And that God came to them one day and asked them, what should we do about the people that we create? And the devil said, we should make them praise God. And Jesus said, no, allow them to, you know, praise God on their own. And so God favored Jesus over the devil. And the devil didn't like it. The devil got jealous. He got a third of the angels. They fought, you know, in heaven. And this is Mormon doctrine from back then. Don't let a Mormon fool you and say this was not part of our doctrine, because it was. They say the angels that fought the most valiant, the bravest angels in this battle, they were the people who would eventually be born with white skin. The angels that didn't fight as valiantly, they were the people who would be eventually born with black skin. This is Mormon doctrine. And they preached this doctrine until 1978, when their president back in 1978 said he got a divine revelation from God, and God said we can let black people in now. And so it's been since 1978 when they ditched, which really is not that long ago. Shoot, I was in fourth and fifth grade in 1978. Now, my thing is this. Okay, I understand all that and whatever, but that does not mean that because she was at a university that is owned by Mormons that these people were yelling racial slurs at her. But maybe she knew the history of the Mormons and said, hey, this is an opportune moment for me to, you know, strike up the band, you know, yeah, tell them they were yelling racial slurs at me.
That's a good point to make.
Yeah, I mean, but if you talk to your average Mormon right now, they will tell you, oh, no, we're not against black people. No, 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 no. But they can't escape the history of their religion, of their belief system. But this girl, she probably, you know, said, oh, yeah, I'm in Utah, because Utah is, anybody knows Utah is overrun with Mormons. And she probably took her and said, yeah, I can stay here, and people will probably believe me. But all we had to do is play back the recording of the volleyball match and listen for ourselves. And I, no one has come and said, yeah, we heard racial slurs. She was the only girl that said she heard racial slurs being hurled at her. And she said her auntie heard it too. And I'm like, wow. I said, yeah, we still live in Cuckoo Banana Town. Yeah, beam me up, Scotty, so we can go to so we can boldly go where nobody has gone before. You know what I mean? People's brain cells are being disintegrated at a very alarming rate today. I heard that story. I said, here we go again. And they're just doing this to keep this, you know, to keep the fires of racism, keep the fires of black victimhood going. We can make whatever excuse we want to anytime we get caught in our dirt. That's all this is about. And I'm sitting there like, oh my goodness, man, I'm sitting here like, when is this cycle going to end? When are people actually going to wake up and say, wait a minute, nah, we've heard too many of these hoaxes. I mean, hundreds of hoaxes out there. And we still believe when someone comes out and just makes a snap judgment like that, makes a snap accusation, and we still want to sit down and believe these folks when they say they're dirt. It's a crazy mess. Someone's got their hand up here. Let me get this caller. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. How you boys doing?
Doing good. How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well.
I'm coming here starting then.
Well, I mean, just coming in to have a conversation, sir. I don't know why you would be so rude, but have you heard of the Black Menaces? Have you heard of that?
The Black who?
Menaces.
Yeah, they show in every town on Sundays.
Okay, well, for those who don't know, the Black Menaces is a group on the BYU campus who has gotten famous on TikTok for racial slurs and things that they say about black people. So they had some interesting things to say about that particular volleyball game because a couple of them were there. Second thing, Rachel Robinson, one of the few black students at Duke University playing volleyball, I don't think we would take her as some kind of radical or some kind of anti-racist. This is a black person at Duke University. I mean, I think you kind of know her upbringing. To get into Duke University as a volleyball player, especially on a scholarship, we're talking about impeccable grades. We're talking about a certain upbringing. I don't know, man. I'm struggling with this because I've seen some of the things on the right. Like I've read some of the things people are saying where I've seen the coach of South Carolina has canceled the home and home with BYU because of this incident, and people are bringing up where South Carolina fans actually racially abused some black players at a game and she didn't stand up for them. So there's a lot going on with this story, but I don't think it's as open and shut as you're saying. Like, this is not Jussie Smollett. This is a black person who only when she was serving did she hear these comments. And when we say, okay, if we play the audio back, how come we can't hear the comments? Well, if you play the audio back from any...
What were the comments?
Go ahead. Well, she claims and her aunt claims that there was the N-word, there was a threat that she better be careful going to her bus, and multiple other slurs every time when she – only when she served, meaning she's standing closest to the crowd by herself with the ball in her hand, if y'all know how volleyball
works. Well, what I want to ask is this. Now, you say multiple other slurs. I wonder what they would be. But what's so funny about the N-word, man? Come on now. You know,
do you think a college student should be objected to that? Or?
You know, here's a it was a high school game in Illinois where it was between a black team and a white team. And you know what the white team starts chanting? A-C-T, A-C-T, A-C-T. So was that racist?
Depends on the context.
And if you don't know
crowd.
What they were talking about college entrance exams, where the students from that school was sporting like
I'm from Illinois, so I played a game in Pekin, Illinois, where they actually threw things at our bus. So I kind of have an understanding of that area.
Well, I was at – I know things that – hey, I played a game there at Fairground Park, there at Diamond Number 1 at the Pink House. When Negroes on the corner was started shooting bullets toward the people on the field, and we had to, you had a white team, the Bird from way south, they came there on buses to play us, and you had a black team, which we was Carnahan High School, which I was assistant coach, and that's what happened.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Everybody had to hit the ground and leave.
Yeah, I would say that's terrible, and that shouldn't happen. So, again, going back to this story, I kind of find it funny that I'm seeing typically black conservatives kind of latch on to this story and say it as fact when BYU, which said that they kicked one student out and investigated the process, said they met with the girl and her father after the game to try to figure out, you know, how they can fix this. They actually had a cop come down to the court to stand there to see if anybody else would do anything. So they were proactive in this.
Yeah, I heard all of that, but see, like I said, volleyball doesn't have the same fan following that basketball does or football. They said it was 5,000 people at that game. We should be able to, if we were to play that that match back, we should be able to hear it clear. As she said, every time she served, because I love volleyball. I like volleyball. And every time the server gets up to serve, it's pretty. The crowd is fairly quiet. Now we should be able to hear. We should be able to hear the racial slur. And
yeah,
when she first came out and she talked about it, she didn't say it was the N-word. She just said it was a racial slur. I'm like, well, what was the racial slur? And she said, well, my auntie heard it, but they even investigated people in the crowd. People on her own teammates said they didn't hear it. Now, I don't know if she has some type of super hearing or whatever. She's from the planet Krypton or something like that. Why was she able to hear it, but nobody else was able to hear it? That's the thing
I would doubt the idea that nobody else was here. Nobody else could hear it. That's the part where we're kind of getting at. So they're in Utah. So the idea that you would kind of scour the crowd and say, hey, did you hear it? Yeah, I would expect people from Utah to say, sir, can I finish? We also had a racial incident last year from one of the Laker players there. So this is not anything new. Now, when it comes to, like, volleyball and things, like you said, it's not a popular sport like football and basketball. But when you're on campus and there's nothing to do certain days, you do go to the volleyball game. As a person who went to a couple of those on a Saturday morning and we didn't have nothing else to do, and, yes, we were hungover, and, yes, we were yelling things, like, I do understand how this can work where you get guys in there, especially good Mormons who, of course, would never drink, right, host? They would never drink.
Well, that's what they say, but I can tell you otherwise. I can tell you otherwise. That's what they say.
Exactly. So,
but
yeah,
you know, here's the thing that gets me.
Somebody saying something to this girl and her being, again, this is not some hard, gritty girl from the inner city. Again, this is a
we're not trying to say that.
Is that school a private school? Is that a private school?
Yeah, Duke is, Duke is a private school.
You know, at them private schools, they spot black kids 319 points on the ACT test before they even sit down.
Duke University does not do that.
How do you know?
Because I have a, well, I don't want to say, I don't really want to put all my business out there, but I have a nephew who is a player for Duke right now.
What, football player?
Basketball.
Well, basketball and football players don't take up hard courses at some of these universities like LSU.
Yeah, but the volleyball slots for Duke are really competitive. Not only does GPA have to be high, your extracurriculars have to be immaculate. Like, it's a really coveted spot. Like, women's volleyball at Duke, it's a big deal.
But here's the
and
thing.
Volleyball.
I wish they would put more emphasis and attention at black at basketball and football teams when the word is used. Look at the NFL. The word is used with the players.
Yep.
They had to cut the mics off. Matter of fact, it was a conversation on that in the written up in the news. You know, I just wish I could see some balance in this, these accusations. Blacks at these games.
I tell you what.
It gets, well, can I speak, sir?
Wow.
I mean, what's good for a goose is good for a gander, isn't it?
No, we were having a conversation about one thing, and then all of a sudden you start talking about NFL players saying
no,
choice.
I'm talking
it's
about words being thrown and where they are thrown at, and there's not an equal. I mean, we could talk about Tawana Brawley, too, if you want to say that somebody accused whites of doing something that didn't happen. I ain't saying it didn't happen, but when it's researched, it's found out
that
it did not happen.
Sir.
You know, Lord, that's one reason I start hollering at your ass sometimes. You just love to talk
cursing?
Over people. That's one of the reasons I start hollering at your booty.
I give it up to you. That was funny.
No, so why come you don't have equal administration of the ridicule when blacks do it to blacks and probably do it to whites too? As a matter of fact, they do, and sometimes it gets worse. There ain't nothing said, but anytime you have an opportunity to blame whites at a white university of doing something like what is accused that they say that this woman did, or I'm sorry, the people in the stand done, it goes right out the
door. Just so you know, the NFL does have a fining system for slurs, and it includes black people saying the word, the N-word, which
I like to see it.
Was fine.
I like to see it too, because I hear them use that word a lot.
This was a big.
I hear them use that word a lot.
Yeah, this was a big controversy a few years ago. They got mad at Goodell because they said, "Okay, how is this dude going to legislate what we say on the field and yada yada yada?" And they said, "No, you cannot say that N word. We have commercial sponsors, and if you're mic'd up and you say this, it reflects on us in a different way." So that's kind of already been adjudicated. But again, the story we were actually talking about, instead of looking for red herrings to avoid the actual topic. I think you guys might need to research this a little more.
I'm going to go by what I hear in the news, and I think that if they're just using it as an excuse to find leverage to call for reparations or something out of that, out of the school system.
So the Duke University wealthy young lady is trying to sue for reparations. That's your argument? Okay. You guys,
she's trying to get some kind of attention. Because I'm like I said, yeah, people said they didn't hear a racial slur or anything like that, but that doesn't mean that they're lying. I mean, we should be able to play that match, see the replay, and if it happened the way that she said it happened, we should be able to hear it ourselves with our bare ears.
But what if you can't?
Look,
because
the word nigger is protected by First Amendment free speech. I mean, come on now.
Not in corporate spaces, man. They will run your
when you're in corporate space, but when you're in government-sponsored places where the First Amendment apply, remember to say Congress shall not. Well, the word nigger is protected by First Amendment rights. Hell, blacks use it.
Yeah. So, again, I think you guys are avoiding the actual conversation. So, last year in Utah, Russell Westbrook of the Lakers was confronted by a Utah fan, called racial slurs, and threatened. Russell got up, threatened the fan, offered to fight the fan, and afterwards people said they didn't hear him say anything. The Utah fan said they didn't hear the guy say anything.
Well, why didn't he hit the man in the mouth?
Well, the official stepped in and the police stepped in, and the man was banned from Utah Jazz games. He can't.
But I'd sue if I was him.
I would imagine his lawyer would lose that case. As a private entity, they do not. They are not required to.
I'd be a material witness and say I heard it talked about on the stuff. Hey, you. What about let's getting off of that a little bit. What about the Cornell Black Student Union? Being very harsh with African students, man, saying that they don't deserve the privileges that they have as far as admittance over them. I think that's wrong.
That is wrong. I agree. I got no pushback on that.
So my question,
we talk about all this stuff.
Sit before the committee.
My question is this. Here's my question. Are we saying that no black person has ever instigated a racial hoax in this country ever?
No, I'm not saying that.
Okay, so this seems to be a pattern. This seems to be a pattern when I mention stuff like this, that people come in and they say, well, you got to understand, it was this situation, that situation, everything. It seems like every time I bring something up like this, people come in to defend the person who is instigating the hoax. I can guarantee
I
can bring
I'm
up Crystal Mangum.
Anybody. I'm following the evidence.
Okay.
You guys
are
making
an
aggressive claim with no evidence.
It's not an aggressive claim, and it's plenty of evidence. I mean, all we had to do was play the match back. That's all we had to do. And they said journalists went in, and they said, hey, no one heard the racial slur. They said even her teammates didn't hear it.
Yeah,
so
her white teammates did not hear it. Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Oh, yeah,
me
because
well,
you're white.
Well,
right?
Hell, black.
Unless the girl was
white,
mic'd
right?
up.
Wait a minute.
Unless
wait a minute.
If the girl was mic'd up, how would they have the audio? Like, what do
wait
you mean?
A minute. So you saying that whites is taking up for this like blacks take up for blacks?
Wouldn't surprise me.
Huh?
That's
what
more,
do they
that's
call it? The silence? What do they call it? The silence in the hood where it won't people to step forward?
And as sensitive as people are against race in this country today, I'm pretty sure they could have found someone say, yeah, I heard them. And, yeah, white people, too. They would have been like, yeah, we heard someone saying something against her.
Have you been to Utah, sir? Have you been to Utah?
I don't need to be
to
Utah.
It's a lot of black people coming out of Katrina that lives in Utah, man. Come on.
Well, I'll explain it because the host kind of set me up for this one. I'll explain it.
Okay.
So in Utah,
go ahead. You're talking about a person who's not ignorant about Utah. I know about Utah. I just explained about the Mormon religion and everything.
Yep.
So you're saying the white players on Duke's team, they're from Utah too?
They're white Duke players, which is a whole nother thing. If you want to get into the years of Duke players,
Miami players, I live,
work for them. Yeah, it gets interesting.
I live in Durham, North Carolina. I live here.
So you know.
Yes.
So you know.
Yes, I know. And I know the atmosphere, the racial atmosphere here. Just because you're white doesn't mean you're going to keep silent when you hear something racist going on. Because you got a lot of guilty white people here.
Talk about them Cameron crazies. I can't say that normally publicly.
Well,
talk about what they said to people over the years.
Their prejudice against people who are UNC fans and Clemson fans and stuff like that. They're not prejudiced against people who are black.
Let me tell you something, man.
I had a teammate who played the McDonald's All-American game. They played a game at Cameron Indoor. He got in trouble for stealing some CDs from the bookstore at Purdue. So they go on the road to Duke, and the Cameron crazies, they were holding up CDs every time he went to the free throw line. They were calling him a thief, crook, whatever. Like, you know what the Cameron crazies do.
But that doesn't mean that they're racist.
Well, what's wrong with that? Don't they hold up white towels?
That don't mean that they're racist.
Calm down. Why y'all get so
But
upset?
That doesn't mean that they're racist.
No, what's wrong
not
with
about
that?
Calm down. I'm telling you, I live in Durham. I live in Durham, North Carolina. And I know the racial atmosphere around here. And those students are not going to sit there and say, we're in Utah. I guess we'll be quiet if we hear a racial slur. They didn't hear it.
So the Duke. Yeah, the Duke students don't travel to Utah for volleyball. For basketball, yes, they would travel. We're talking about a pretty much all Utah crowd. But the point I was trying to get to was this.
Well, I'm talking about the players. I'm not talking about the fans.
Right, right. But Utah is really cognizant of their reputation and also the idea that they might be racist, going back to what you said about their religion and what people think about them. So they're really protective of that reputation. So to hear that the crowd in Utah said, no, we didn't hear anything, that doesn't surprise me at all. That's typically how
well,
they
yeah,
move. Again, they did the same thing to Russell Westbrook.
Well, it's just like the thing with wait a minute. Let's it's like the deal with Tillman. What's his name in Alabama?
Tillman, I know who you're talking about. They said they heard
a voice coming from the car to say that's him. But they can't associate no face with the voice because it was dark. So now here you are today. Just recently going after this woman that's in her 90s, a white woman, saying it was her and she need to be put in jail because
Are
he in
her,
Emmett Till. Emmett Till
oh,
ended up
Emmett
getting killed.
Yeah.
She should be arrested. I don't
How is she going to be arrested?
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody witnessed her.
They actually sent us to arrest her back in the day, but it was never fulfilled because the local sheriff and the local police were in
because
on
they
it.
Had no
they
witness.
It.
How do you know nobody even knew
on,
she was in the car? They never seen no
calm
face.
Down, calm down. This is why the killers of Emmett Till were able to do an interview with Life magazine admitting what they did because they knew were protected locally by law enforcement. Like, if you don't know that, that's okay. But, yeah, that's what happened.
Well, that's why that's the same thing in Georgia, your state. That's why you find people guilty in that case with Arbery. Come on now, we can talk about this back and forth.
Yeah, I don't think you're making the point you think you're making. Yeah,
oh,
Mark
we're making
Aubrey,
the point. So what point are you
jail.
Making?
That's
what
this?
Point are you making about the racial makeup of Utah? What kind of point are you trying to make?
Oh, Utah is racist as hell. That was one point. The second point, you asked about Carolyn Bryant. Yes,
give
Carolyn
me
Bryant
example how. Give me example how Utah is racist as hell.
Well, I mean, you can just look at the demographics of Utah. That would tell
so
you everything.
So just because
you need to know.
They're all white, they're racist. Wait a minute.
Sir,
just
sir,
because
you seem to be angry and don't want
no,
to
No, I'm not angry.
Sick.
I'm happy as
so,
a
no,
lark.
He's not angry. He's not
I'm
angry.
I'm sitting
that,
up here in my
that,
shorts. Just got to eat some barbecue. I'm happy
you
as a lark. I asked you a question. Give me an answer, Notch.
Well,
give me an answer.
That sounds kind of vague.
Vincent, cut his ass off this show. He always come on a show disrupting things.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
But that statement
that
sounds kind of vague when you say we're looking for specifics.
Because your man asked me two more questions in the middle of my answer. So what do you expect?
All right, you got plenty of time to answer. Give me an answer. Tell me how they racist.
I won't.
Tell me how they are doing something illegal.
Yeah, so getting back to what I was saying, I think, one, you're answering the question in bad faith, which is not even to be respected.
It doesn't. I don't have
question.
To have no faith. My
why,
religion
why
don't
you,
come into this.
Why are you
show me how they're doing
comments?
Something illegal. That's all I ask.
I mean, all he's asking is for something specific.
You don't want to make
he's
it these exclamations.
He's asking for specifics. You can't just say, okay, well, I know they're racist because I've heard things or just look
no,
at their
I'm
demographics.
Their
no, give us something specific.
I'm going off their
tell
reputation.
Tell us how you know
what
these people
done
are racist.
Historically. I'm going off their
okay,
reputation.
Okay, what have they done? Well,
whose reputation? Your whole state?
Yes.
You got
not,
blacks
not
living
mention.
In the state. They
received
blacks that was coming out of Katrina that didn't have no place else to go. So you say they, quote unquote, I guess the whole state, Utah, is racist. Huh?
Yeah, this is a silly way of looking at anything. So anyway,
no, you describe things in a stupid
no,
way.
You just interrupt and ask another question in the midst of me
I'm
answering.
Quiet waiting on
the
answer. I've been waiting on the answer for 5 minutes.
No, you haven't. You've been interrupting every time.
All right, 4 minutes and 32 seconds. Let's go.
You went to the Bill O'Reilly School of Journalism. I'm sorry for that. That's unfortunate.
Oh, now see.
So anyway.
Now see, that's gaslighting. That's gaslighting.
Gaslighting?
Yes, that's gas. When you
Nodge,
when you said
you,
that, you just made a character.
Me and Pion,
you're a dumbass, Nodge. Give
us
an example.
Wait a minute. Shots at each other all the time.
Wait a minute. You just sat there and said he come from the Bill O'Reilly School of that is gaslighting because you don't know where he's coming
funny,
from.
Though. No, that was kind of funny, brother. Like if
no, 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 that's gaslighting,
that
bro.
Funny. That was a good joke.
Let me get this other caller on here because this other caller is asking to come on.
Y'all
hello, Carl. Welcome to the show.
Y'all better get some help.
You got me there, man.
There you go.
There we
go. You're
in charge.
Man. This is where I'm going to have to disagree with my esteemed brother, Pianki. I love it when Naj calls in because it gives me an opportunity to drive into the flank of his arguments, cut them into isolated pockets, and defeat them in detail. And that's what I intend to do right now. Now, first of all, let me just preface my comments by saying that this reminds me of another incident not too long ago where you had three black congressmen walking through a Tea Party rally where thousands of cell phones are recording simultaneously. And they said they got called the N-word repeatedly while they walked through it. They said just once or twice. They said repeatedly while they were walking the gauntlet of the horrid racists. At the Tea Party rally, they got called in with 1,000 cell phones recording. And so Andrew Breitbart offered a $100,000 reward for anyone who could come forth with documented video evidence or audio evidence of them being called N-word at the rally. To date, ain't nobody collected it.
Well, now, Andrew Breitbart is also dead, so it'd be tough to collect.
It's still viable whether he's dead or not.
let me get going, Doctor. I'm about to kill you. You're about to be destroyed. You might as well surrender right now.
I'm a terrible person.
You might as well surrender right now and get it all and avoid unnecessary pain.
No, I'm fighting all three.
Let me go now. One thing about hate crimes is that they do follow the immutable law of supply and demand. Now, once upon a time, there was an overabundance of hate crimes because this country was not as enlightened as it is today, even though today it has gone too far in the other direction. But there was no shortage of hate crimes once upon a time. I mean, having experienced them myself growing up, believe me, I know. I mean, I got them like you wouldn't believe in the form of physical beatings. So I know when a hate crime is a hate crime. But there's a shortage these days. Like supply and demand, the racial industrial complex ain't getting enough hate crimes to feed itself. So now it's got to come up with a veritable cottage industry of hate crime in order to feed the demand. So that's what we got.
Sarge,
and
Do you think that was a hate crime, Sarge?
It's my turn. Fruit bat alert. All right. So again, what we've got now is a shortage of supply to meet the demand. Now this chick, Rachel, what's her name? Rachel's
basketball.
Don Stanley,
Richardson.
Whatever her name is. This is the same dame who kept that team in the locker room when the national anthem was being played. Because believe me, she's a little stooge for BLM and all these other places out there doing what they're doing. And she kind of reminds me of the Bubba Wallace fake noose in the garage, too. Look, when it comes to hate crime, it's documented. For instance, by the
Bias
team at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse, and they found that out of 192 reported hate crimes that they studied, 67 of them were unsubstantiated. And when I use the term substantiated, was without a hate crime is substantiated, I'm only speaking of cases where either it was proven to be fought by investigation, an official report, a confession by the hate crime hoaxer, a plea of guilty by
the
hate crime hoaxer,
or
some sort of official administrative action showing that they committed an offense in the form of a hoax. That's what I mean by substantiated. And I'm telling you right now, there are probably more hate crimes that are hoaxes these days than are actual hate crimes. And if you
Naj,
would you let the man talk? I ain't going to tell you no more.
He can't help himself, can he?
It's three of
y'all.
See,
he knows he's being exposed. He knows I got the goods on him, so he got to try to shove me.
Wait till I get my turn.
Man, will you shut up?
Vincent,
put him on mute.
As a matter of fact, we got places now that statistically compile these things, and they give names, dates, address, and the results of official findings. There is a hate crime hoax industry that is both formal and informal. And the problem is because of the fear generated by cultural Marxism, political correctness, and wokeness, many people are even afraid to discuss it. But I ain't. I don't care who doesn't like me saying it. I'm going to say it from now until high heaven, because it's one thing, if it's one thing that poisons the social atmosphere and the social society's construct, is this bigotry of fakery around racial hate crimes in order to gain leverage through guilt and manipulation. I think it is poisonous, and I think it's god-awful. And it really lets down genuine victims when, in fact, they do occur in the relatively rare occasions today where they do occur. And finally, when it comes to this thing here, one fan makes a racial slur, and this crazy volleyball coach pulls all, I hope they forfeit every game that's involved. One fan? Just think,
one
if
fan.
Jackie Robinson had given up his quest to be great in a National Baseball League because one fan called him a racial slur when, in fact, tens of thousands of fans were calling him the N-word and worse.
Yeah.
Man, these people today are so punkish. They are so weak. They are so disruptive and destructive. They are a disgrace to the idea of competitiveness and strength. And I think they should be shunned because they are no example
for me
or anyone else that I know. Fake,
so,
and that's
again,
why Nas liked it so much.
Conservatives who claim to be champions of free speech, I am muted because, again, it's me against three of y'all. And
I wouldn't have as long as you.
Let me just do this right quick. First of all, I don't believe in, you know, conservatism, liberalism, and saying, okay, I'm a conservative, so I just want to hear a conservative viewpoint. But if you have a liberal viewpoint, I don't want to hear it. You know, that's not what you're dealing with here, you know, and it's kind of like a straw man argument that, oh, yeah, and when you make, now, you're glad I didn't kick you off when you made that comment earlier about Pianki being at the Bill O'Reilly School of Journalism, you know, because that's character assassination. So you're saying that Pianki is... No, you're just saying Pianki is getting his information from Fox News.
No, sir, me and Pianki have called each other everything but a child of God over the years. It's no big deal. That was a joke. He's okay.
Yeah,
that's
but you're on my show, though.
I'm on Vincent's show, and you have to respect his rules. He gives them before he even starts his show.
Respect his rules.
Yeah, well, I'm prepared to back up what I say with documented evidence. Documented evidence,
Sarge. Now, Sarge, let him explain himself.
Well, I don't need to explain myself. I need to tear apart Sarge's weak argument. So, firstly, Sarge starts off with an emotional argument where he says these things probably occur and that there is an industrial complex Whoa, sir, it's not your turn.
Make an accusation.
Not your turn.
You made an accusation,
directly
though.
To what he said. I know it's
three.
Okay,
You're missing my words. Your hearing aid wasn't in.
Y'all need a ref?
Maybe your hearing aid wasn't in. I didn't say that.
It's one against three. Calm down. I'm still going to beat y'all up. Just calm down.
Oh, please. You ought to see the odds.
Wow.
I got to go up against somebody.
now, you're one against three. Oh,
and now you're griping, huh?
Goodness. Hey, I'm just setting the point spread. I'm handicapping, letting it be known that it's one against three.
Well, you already handicapped, so you do need the break, so go ahead.
Yeah, you had to get that joke in. I knew you was going to do it.
I couldn't help myself, man. It's my turn now. Hey, it's my turn for the racial grievance now.
That was a good one. So anyway, getting to what you're saying.
Go ahead. Get out what you need to say.
Right, so he said it's a whole complex, which is ridiculous because it's not a whole complex. You got incidents that are, what, individual incidents. They're one-offs. They're not some kind of complicated thing that people are tranching up and deciding, hey, we're going to set up this volleyball player at Duke University against Utah to make a grievance. No, these are incidents that happen. Why? Because America is, for the most part, racist. Like, you guys don't want to deal with that. I understand. That's typically what happens to black conservatives. They figure out a way to not only go along.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Here we go.
Well, I mean, it's a correct accusation. So
here we go. Here we go. That's a false accusation. No, it's not being sensitive.
Correct.
It's not being sensitive.
Correct. I supplied the list of 469 race crime officers. I'm prepared to document everything.
It's not being sensitive.
I'm prepared to document everything I say, chapter and verse, times and dates, names and conclusions.
How did I know I wouldn't?
469 over the last 3 years.
How did you want to talk about being sensitive? Let's talk about the race condition in the United States today.
You need something else.
I'm still not able to finish. People clearly are.
Okay, go ahead.
He's
going
to ignore that.
He's
going to move on to the next thing.
When you make these false accusations, I'm going to call you out on it. I'm going to call you out on it when you make these false accusations.
Listen, go on to your next report.
469 incidents in the last 3 years. I have dates, times, places, and conclusions made. 469.
I'm sure you do.
Now, if you want to try to pretend that insignificant, be my guest.
I just
want to
finish what I was saying. I just want to finish what I was saying. You clearly
Well, finish what you're saying without the false accusations.
Mm-hmm. So getting back to what I was saying. So the Ahmaud Arbery case where somebody on here said it wasn't a hate crime. I tried to ask Sarge if that was a hate crime. He avoided it and kept talking because he knows that fits the definition of a hate crime, which wouldn't go along with the narrative you guys are spinning today, which says that, oh, these things are less than, and they don't happen as often. And therefore, Jackie Robinson went through something, and these kids – I guess they're supposed to grin and bear it and go through what Jackie Robinson went through. I don't know why
one
that makes
thing.
Sense to y'all, but excuse me?
One fan. They said one fan did this.
No, they said one fan was ejected. They didn't say one fan.
No, they said one fan saying the N-word. They didn't say a whole lot of fans were saying it.
I can't finish because I'm interrupted again. So you guys go ahead and have a good night.
What about that white kid that was beaten to death playing the blacks in the basketball game at Akron just here maybe a month or so ago? I ain't heard of no hate crimes. I ain't heard of
it.
Yeah, is it?
He shot him with a water gun or something.
Yep, that's correct.
Well, you know, they
were
probably from Jackson, Mississippi,
you know,
where they have a shortage of clean water. I don't know. You know about it.
Are you okay? Yeah, y'all
can't
make
it. 469 incidents, Nod. I'm prepared to document each and every one.
Like,
469, Nod.
Yeah, you repeated this five times now. So
yeah, because you
want to
ignore it.
Yeah, I understand y'all like echo chambers. You don't like.
You like ignoring things that are inconvenient facts for your car.
Okay. Okay, I kicked him off. I kicked him off because, you know, he's coming up with the false accusations, talking about, yeah, y'all like the echo chambers and all that and everything. So I just kicked him off. My gunshot. I ain't got my gunshot in the queue. I need to talk to Mr. Garding about that. But and you know when he comes up and say, yeah, this is what I expect from black conservatives and everything, dude, come on now, come on.
I mean it's just amazing the way they, you know, when you confront them with literally facts. I mean, like I said,
yeah.
I've got 469 racial hoax incidents in the last 3 years. I've got Jason Riley's book. I mean, Wilfred Riley's book, The Hate Crime Hoax, How the Left is Selling a Fake Race War, which details these incidents, specific dates, names, corroborations, the results of investigations, specifics, not emotional arguments. Yes, I'll throw that in there too, but the core of my contentions are facts. They're based in facts.
Exactly.
And then when you confront them with these facts, then they choose to poo-poo and dismiss them airily, as though they don't matter.
Yeah, and I especially like and see he's a classic liberal talking point is when you try to ask them for facts and they say, well, just look at the demographics. You know, when we were asking him about, you know, give us an example of racism in Utah. And he was like, well, just look at the no, we're not asking about demographics. We're asking you because you seem to know how racist Utah is. give us a specific incident that happened in Utah, or you should be able to come up with a myriad of incidents in Utah that shows that Utah is a racist state. And Utah has a fairly good sized black population. Let me tell you that right now. You're not talking to an idiot right here. I was a geography major when I was in North Carolina Central University. So
here's one that is a perfectly typical of a hate crime hoax. It happened on September the 30th, 2021. The first hate whole note that this hoaxer made was on December 21st, 2020. It was in Douglasville, Georgia. She pretended to be a white man, threatening the neighbors. She left racist notes in neighborhood mailboxes threatening to kill people and burn down homes. Turned out to be a black woman named Teresa Lucas, 30 years of age. She was charged by police in Georgia by sending racial threats pretending to be Ku Klux Klan. She was charged by the police. There was video surveillance camera that found her putting the notes in the mailboxes. This is typical of these incidents. There are literally hundreds of similar. I could go on and on.
Oh, what about Alton, Illinois?
With investigation and crime documented, but Nas will pretend that I'm just falling for right-wing Bill O'Reilly commentators.
Yeah, and Alton, Illinois, where the black preacher burnt his own damn church down, blamed it on whites.
Yeah,
insurance
exactly.
Scam, yeah, and then make it out to be a hate crime.
Yeah, see, we can specify that. See, we don't make these stories up.
I tell you another one in Alton with Chukwue Lumumba, the father of the present mayor of Jackson, Mississippi.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
When these blacks burglarized this white man's house, took his TV, and I think he caught them on the street going to the pawn shop or someplace with their TV. And all hell broke loose, and they got locked up, and he come there to defend the blacks, calling it as being racism and crap like that, man.
Here's another one for you. Greenville, North Carolina police arrested an ECU Theta Chi member of the fraternity there. ECU's Pi Lambda Phi chapter on the 5th of October, 2021. They arrested him for cyberstalking by sending race hate crime messages over the Internet. Again, the guy's name is James Edwards IV. Another one. I mean, there are just hundreds of these incidents. And it gets down to the media doesn't want to report it like this, like they should be reporting it, because they're scared to death and intimidated by the racial industrial complex. They're scared to death and intimidated. And plus, many of them like to go along with the narrative anyway. The narrative undercuts much of what they report in the news. Whenever a genuine hate crime, the relatively rare instances of hate crimes that are real occur and are played up beyond all recognition and significance, while the dozens and even hundreds of hoaxes are just utterly ignored by them, it's startling. It's staggering almost.
So how is it, you know, and I already know the answer to this question, that I'm just posing it to you all. So how is it when you can ask conservative folks like ourselves, we can come up with detailed information, we can come up with specific incidents, but when you ask the liberals, they just say, oh well, oh you just gotta look, oh Google it, oh check that, you just gotta look, you gotta do your research and everything. Well, my thing is this is the thing that gives me a headache about people like this, is they act like they know what they're talking about, but they can't give a specific incident to back up their claims. That's the thing that really gives me a headache about this. You think you know everything. Won't you go Google it? No, that's why I'm asking you the question. You know, I'm asking you the question because I want to know about if a racial incident is going on against black people or whatever. I want you to tell me. So maybe I can look into it and say, oh, okay. But then, oh no, you just gotta study and look at history and all this and whatnot, and they can't give you anything specific.
Yeah, they elevate the narrative over the facts. That's what they do. They come over there and irredeemably racist country. Everybody, you're something, you know, you throw a rock anywhere in a crowd of white people, you're going to hit a racist. Maybe two or three if it ricochets. And this is what they come out with. What they come out with has a dicta. And literally it is dicta. It shall not be contradicted.
I mean, where is it illegal for what they're saying? You know, if a white call a black something and he's accused of being racist or a hate crime, well, if the black do the very exact thing to a white person, nothing is said. And why come these ones that killed this kid down there in Akron, Ohio, on the basketball court, which was part of the school that LeBron James is sponsored. Yep. I ain't heard him say nothing about it neither.
Nope.
Why come they ain't been accused of being of a hate crime? Why come Emmanuel Solomon wasn't accused of a hate crime when he went down and sat in that white church for many Sundays, and all of a sudden one he go down there and start killing whites, saying he wanted to kill 10 whites?
But wait a minute. Let's give an example of a hate crime that dare not speak its name. Anti-Asian hate crime by black offenders. It is off the chain in the West Coast of the United States and on the East Coast of the United States. Blacks
who attack Asians. They try to blame white folks for that, too. They try to blame white folks for that, too.
Yeah.
We all know
it's
that.
It's literally
that,
off
the
chain
most,
when you come talk about,
I mean,
when you
really
compare the actual numbers. White people are almost not doing it whatsoever. They got to go back to internment camps during World War II to find anything comparable for white people. And that was done by official edict of the president's administration.
Exactly. You know, so.
And then they'll just completely ignore. And while these crimes are being committed, you got it on audio and video. Why don't you go back to wherever, Japan or China or Korea or whatever, while they're committing the crime and they're battering them? Yep.
Will Smith smacking Chris Rock with a hate crime, and it wasn't no he say, she say when the police came. It's on video. He should have been charged with an offense to the state of California.
Exactly. let's just be real here. Let's call a spade, you know. And this is the thing that really it really ticks me off. When people do this kind of thing, they're always pointing at what somebody else is doing, but they're not aware of the fingers that are pointing back at them, you know. And I like what Sarge said earlier. You know, they take the narrative over the facts. You know, that's all they're doing. They're just taking the narrative over the facts, and they think the narrative is what's going to get them by. They think they're loading their gun with bullets, but they're shooting are blanks. That's all they're doing, you know. And me, I'm a type of person, if I ask you a question, I want a specific answer. I deal in specifics. I don't want to hear some vague, you know, oh, well, you just got to check it out yourself. If you're sitting here and you're making an accusation against somebody, let's say I'm a judge and I'm in a court of law, and you say, okay, so here's the accused right here. So you're saying that the accused has killed these two people. Say no, I just heard that he I heard that he killed the two people. I wasn't really, man. They're gonna throw your case out. Give me a specific. You're supposed to be a witness. You're supposed to be a witness to the fact, to your accusation. And you're over here saying, just check it out. Just check out what people in the neighborhood are saying about them. You know, no, we don't want to hear that. That's hearsay. We want to know what you actually witnessed. We want to know if you have seen the facts. We want to know if you can back up your accusatory claims, but you can't. So
Vince, this is what I like to emphasize here. Now, like, I don't usually like to throw up, you know, personal stories as some kind of shield or bulwark against anything. But the reason I'm so really angered by this kind of thing, because I was the victim of genuine hate crimes in Chicago growing up. Chicago was one of the most racist and racially segregated cities, certainly in the North, if not the nation. And when I would go into white neighborhoods looking as a little kid trying to buy things in the 60s and trying to buy the little things I could only find in the white drugstore that kids loved to have and play with, I would get beaten and attacked and called names. And I never got any justice for any of it. And many of my friends never got any justice for any of it. But it didn't make me want to get revenge against white people. It made me say that victims of such things ought to be compensated for it and have justice when it occurs to them. And these fake hate crimes weaken that case.
Yeah, exactly.
It is wrong to victimize anyone on the basis of race and nothing else. It is simply wrong. I despise that when it happens. And I despise as much, if not more, when it's faked.
Well, wait a minute, Sarge. Exactly. Hang on for a second. Whoa, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Bank of America just said that they're going to offer no down payment home mortgages to blacks and Hispanics.
Yep. Certainly.
Whoa.
Are they a public accommodation in the meaning of the term public accommodation for civil rights?
Oh, no, but they dealing in commerce under the Commerce Clause.
That covers that public accommodation. Like a restaurant where you open for the public and you're doing public business as a restaurant, you can't discriminate on the basis of race,
wait a minute,
Wait a minute,
Sarge.
So if they're doing that, they're violating the law.
The school district in Minneapolis said they're going to lay off white teachers before they lay off black teachers. The Department of Education, Sarge, wait a minute. The Department of Education, Sarge, is putting about $10 million toward recruiting black teachers and Hispanic teachers. No, they said black teachers on this one. Whoa. Wait a
minute.
Don't
you know
in
when
Norman,
you're building
Missouri,
a brave new world, you don't have time for pettifogging things
hang on,
like
Sarge.
Laws. You
in
don't
Evanston,
have time
Illinois,
for universal transcendent truth.
Wait a minute. They gonna
you don't have
reparations.
Time for that when you're building a brave new world. You've got to disregard the pettifogging little impediment that prevents that from happening. We have
hang
a
on,
higher
Sarge.
Truth
wait a minute.
They're aspiring to. They're aspiring
let
to
me
equity.
Give you another one.
That is a higher truth, Brother Bianchi. Equity
let me give you another one.
Is more important.
Let me give you another one. Evanston, Illinois, the black city council is going to give reparations to their black residents for home repairments or something like that. They ain't giving it to the whites. In Normandy, Missouri, they're on Natural Bridge Road across from University of Missouri, St. Louis, on Natural Bridge Road. You got had an interim mayor by the name of Maurice Hunt, who made a statement that when he's elected, he's going to get rid of all the white employees in Normandy. It's in the paper.
Yep.
Hey, you know, I mean, they come out in the open, and they have no fear. They have no fear of open racial discrimination and bigotry and racism. They don't have any fear because this is the way they've been indoctrinated to believe. They believe that the past history of the United States justifies this sort of present-day racism. They literally believe it. They don't think they're doing anything wrong. They don't believe in objective, transcendent moral truth. They simply do not. This is the kind of United States they want to condemn us to. They want to condemn us to a nation based on racial identity.
And I can go on and on. You got the Congressional Black Caucus that won't allow any white to be a member, even though their constituency is damn near 80% black. And, of course, they don't allow any black conservatives.
Yeah.
Why would
it?
Byron Donald can't get in the Black Congressional Black Caucus.
Yep, and I want to read something in my chat page. Going back to the college student, Bring It Boye is saying colleges are full of social justice warriors. If they heard racial slurs, they would be the first to point it out. People in the stands are students, and see that's the point I wanted to make to what's his name, Naj again. I wanted to make that point to him because, and I thought I did make that point to him, but he totally ignored it. You know, he talks about United States is hugely racist and whatever, which that's another lie right there. But when a racist act happens in this country, people are very sensitive to it, and you got a lot of white folks out here, and see this is another thing. I don't I wish white folks would stop playing that, you know, you're guilty, that you're guilty of this and that you got privilege and all this crazy mess, because most of your white people in this country are not like that, you know. But we are so sensitive to race in this country, if an act occurs, we're on top of it like white on rice. And to say that a bunch of – now this is the thing that didn't make sense to me. I said that this girl, you know, she heard the racial slurs and that her teammates said that they didn't hear anything. He said, oh, well, because they're white. They're white, you know. And I'm like, well, they're from Duke University. They're from Duke University. So they're not from Utah. They didn't just say, oh, we're going to Utah, so let's be racist because we're going to Utah. They're from Duke University. And, dude, he cannot tell me anything about Durham, North Carolina. I have lived here for almost 40 years. I know the racial atmosphere here in Durham, North Carolina. I know the racial atmosphere, even though I don't visit it that much, but I know the racial atmosphere over at Duke University. They don't want that specter of racism hanging above their heads. They don't want that hanging above their heads. I know what I'm talking about. And I guarantee you, you can mention the name of Crystal Mangum to any black person right now, and they'll still say she didn't get justice. And Crystal Mangum is the girl who accused the Duke lacrosse team of raping her. But it was proven.
The one is in jail for murder right now.
Yeah, she's in jail for murder. Exactly.
Them schools, them private white schools, spot blacks 310 points on the ACT test.
Yeah, exactly.
And they deduct 170 from the Asians. Now, is that not racist hate?
I mean, really? Hey,
God
damn. You're Asian, so.
And you still scoring low. And I ain't blaming the kid. I'm not blaming the kid. But you mean that, if my grandson had to get in college on something like that, I'd be in jail right about now. And he wouldn't be around.
it is really. I think that the hate crime hoax industry today. Yeah, I'm calling it an industry.
Yeah,
I think it is so revealing as to what it has become, the magnitude and the parameters it has assumed, and the almost unchallenged attitude by the mainstream press and politicians about the crimes that it commits. I mean, I think it's so revealing these days.
Yeah.
They're trying to construct a brave new world for us. And even though this is a relatively minor aspect of all of that, it's still nonetheless significant. Because of the power it conveys, we do have to juxtapose it against the reality of America's racist past, which was often brutal and inhuman. And that is understandably what causes much of the reticence to attack it today. But that doesn't change the fact that you still have to attack it. We've got to start acclimatizing people to transcendent objective truth. That is more important than almost anything else.
Yeah, yeah. They're talking about you got black teachers that's finally teaching in a white district. Then they want to bring in critical race theory. Then they wonder why the white parents don't want it. And guess what? Black parents say they don't want it neither, but they dismiss them, don't pay no attention to them. They ignore the cries of blacks.
They're not authentically black, Pionki. You should know that. If you don't go along with the narrative, you ain't authentically black. If you didn't vote, you get them vote for me, you ain't black.
Yeah, I didn't. I guess I ain't because I didn't vote for you.
Sure.
we got tarred and feathered, and the tar never came off. I like that that supply and demand analogy you gave, Sarge, about the race industry, because there's such a high demand for racial injustice in this country. People going around and they're making up, you know,
they're manufacturing
it,
man, to meet the demand.
They're manufacturing. I mean, and I said, oh my goodness, this guy is brilliant. I like this.
I mean,
supply
and demand are pretty much immutable, and that's one thing about leftist economics. They just can't seem to understand the concept, no matter how much you explain it to them.
Yeah, exactly. And no matter what analogy you use, they can't explain it. Oh, man, I tell you.
But they fail to factor it into their brilliant economic equations. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All of these, I mean, it's like, you know, you listen to, like, these idiots in the Biden administration, whether it's Jennifer Granholm or Pete Buttigieg or Janet Yellen or any of these other dummies that are running some of the most important offices in the federal government. It's as though supply and demand is an alien concept to them when they factor in their elegant equations about everything. But see, but you got to remember, their overriding principle is they know human nature better than human beings do, and we have a superior grasp of what human nature is, and we are going to redirect human nature into new, hitherto untold avenues. This is what Marxists do. People were influenced by Marxists. People who are socialists and Fabian socialists and communists, they deny human nature itself in almost all of their policy prescriptions, and that's why almost everything they do results in such disaster and unmitigated suffering.
That's right. Yeah. And you know, at the beginning of the show, at the beginning, the show didn't begin the conventional way or whatever, but I was talking about Joe Biden's speech this week, when he said that MAGA Republicans are the biggest threat this country has ever faced or something like that. And then the very next day he comes up and said, I didn't say that. And I'm like, Joe, we sitting here, we just heard you last night less than 24 hours ago. My wife said she watched the speech, you know, and my wife is funny because my wife will yell at the TV. She'll be like, what are you talking about? You know you lied.
Now, Vince, now, we know that the left loves, I mean, this is an absolute thing that they have to do in order to validate the positions in their policy prescriptions. They have to deny the fact that fascism, that authoritarian political system, is in fact a species of left-wing political philosophy. They have to deny this because their own policies reflect the policies to a great extent of fascist regimes in historical knowledge. They have to say fascism is a right-wing conservative philosophy, even though logic demands otherwise. But let's just leave aside that argument for a moment, okay? Let's just set it aside for a minute. I think it's safe to say that the most successful, if you want to put it that way, or at least the most all-encompassing political regimes in the history of mankind that were fascist, that were identified as fascist, were totalitarian. They needed a total system in order to be able to implement their dirty work. They needed control of everything in order to make it really work. So what is more likely to result in a successful fascist regime? A government that does everything and is huge and all-encompassing and expansive and is involved in every aspect of your life, whether you go to college, whether or not you get a home loan, whether or not you determine what kind of car you drive, whether or not it says what kind of gun you can have, or whatever, just name it. And the government is involved in making the determination. Is that sort of government more likely to create fascism, or is a government that says pare back government to its absolute essentials, such as national defense, crime, infrastructure, roads, communications, and pretty much nothing else, maybe borders and immigration. Is a system like that more likely or less likely to have a fascist element or fascist core? And I think the answer should be clear to anyone with an ounce of logic and common sense. The bigger government is more likely to induce fascism. And then when you add the extra factor of actually looking at the policies by the big government people and then comparing them to what fascism actually does, you know, like censoring speech. Like right now, the federal government's got disinformation boards, and they use private businesses as proxies to censor speech. And like, you know, they act in collusion with private business to give subsidies to force consumers in the kinds of products they think they ought to buy, like, electrical vehicles, and they get in the climate change edicts and everything else. Is that sort of government more likely to be fascist, or is another kind of bad where the government is pared down to a minimum essential for civil order and the protection of individual rights? I think it is overwhelmingly clear what kind of government that is, and that kind of government is the kind of government advocated by the Democrat Party today and the Biden administration. And in, yep. in the ultimate act of projection, they, being the actual fascists, project onto us and people who believe like we do in a small government, we're the fascists. This is an amazing sleight of hand that they can even get away with this with anybody.
Yeah, and whenever I see the group called Antifa, when they go out there and do their little dirt, that reminds me of the jackbooted thugs back in Mussolini's day. They used to beat you into submission and get you to believe. And I said, wait a minute. Now, you all want to call these people anti-fascists, but they're acting just like the fascists back in the 30s and the 40s. They're acting just like them, you know. But you want to say that we're fascists. You cannot give 1 ounce of proof that conservatives are out there, you know, intimidating people with violence or anything like that, but people on your side who accuse us of that, y'all the ones that are doing it. Y'all pointing the finger at us, but you're not aware of the three that are pointing back at you. You know, and you still want to turn it around, you want to try to dictate the narrative. No, that's... I mean,
I kind of thought it was a hallmark of fascism when you use lawfare to target your political enemies. I thought that was one of the biggest hallmarks of fascism that there was. You could tell right away you may be encountering an authoritarian, totalitarian, or fascist regime when they target your political enemies by political action. We've got our own variation of Adolf Hitler's Night of the Long Knives going on here right now in the United States.
Yep.
I mean, we got a president of the United States coming up against a blood-red background with United States Marines standing in the background talking about targeting enemies of the state. Half of the country is enemies of the state. With something that looked like a Nuremberg Nazi Party satanic rally with a blood-red illumination and a crazy man fumigating in front of the American people. I mean, it was chilling. I've never seen an American president speak about a large swath of fellow American citizens this way ever. Even Abraham Lincoln didn't speak about the Confederacy that way. Yeah, he wanted a general who would wage ruthless war against the Confederate Army, but throughout the war, he made a conciliatory gesture to Confederates who he wanted to get back into the Union. He was conciliatory in that respect whenever he talked about the people of the Confederacy. And they were killing hundreds of thousands of Americans.
Yep, and the optics of that speech that Joe Biden gave, that was one of the most gloomiest, that was probably the gloomiest optic I've ever seen.
It was chilling, like something out of a horror movie.
I mean, it was like, what in the world is he trying to convey with this? I mean, it was like, dude, do you even see your background? And you know, and God bless the Marines in the background. You know, I know they got a job to do it.
They got their orders, and they followed orders.
Yeah, they just following orders. Yeah, and I said, you know, God bless them. You know, I can only imagine what's going through their minds when they're listening to him doing this. You know, and I said, I don't know why we don't see this. I just don't understand it. You know,
it is common for political leaders in the United States to use soldiers as props when they're announcing a policy involving, say, a weapon system, or there's a visiting dignitary and you got the honor guard there, or they're commemorating some historical event in American history, like a battle in particular, an anniversary of its dedication to veterans memorials or something like that. And nobody has any objection. That's certainly not me. I welcome things like that. I have no objection.
Yeah.
I have never in my life seen an American president give a speech excoriating his political enemies with soldiers and members of the armed forces in the background.
Yeah.
That is another thing heretofore I have never seen. I am a historian. Yeah. I study these things. I've never seen anything like it. That's why they're walking it back today. They know they screwed up big time. They know it. They know it. They know it.
Yeah.
And they're trying to walk it back, and they're trying to ameliorate it. And everybody sees what this regime is about. Joe Biden is a hollow man. He's got nothing at his core. It's being filled up by the people who pull his strings. He doesn't even know what the hell he's doing half the time. He's a corruptocrat anyway, even before he became senile. So it's a matter of the fact that he's not in charge. He just looks like he acts, wants to pretend that he's in charge. He don't say anything.
Well, on another note, did you hear about how Governor Pritchett is taking away Section 8 for blacks in Chicago with the through HUD and this guy named Tracy? I can't think of his name. And they supposedly done 50,000 blacks like that in Atlanta over a period of time, Sarge.
Yeah.
Tracy Scott is his name. Yeah.
What was that again? I'm going to have to look up that one. That one I'm not familiar
Tracy Scott. They apparently, it's in the paper just recently, and I'm going to send you a text message. And Vincent, give me your phone number. I'll send them to you, too. But so I got your... I think I got your email.
Send it to me because I'm not familiar with it. So, I like to listen. Man, but I'm telling you, man, this administration, I mean, it is the epitome of American-style fascism. At least, though, it's kind of nascent. It's been brewing kind of behind the scenes for, I don't know, at least the last 30 years, maybe, 40, ever since Clinton came into office, really. That's when it started going into high gear. It got into a really... high gear under Barack Obama. And now with the senile old goat in charge, who can be manipulated by all his gray eminence grise that are running around him, it's really going in a rocket drive overdrive. And they know they've got a limited window until the November elections comes. And if they get really outed and rousted in this upcoming election, there will be no more dangerous time in American history than that time between November and January when the new Congress is sworn in. You better be on the lookout for every possible unconstitutional measure you can imagine of being attempted to be passed by the Democrat Party.
Well, I tell you what.
If they're trying to win the midterms, they are doing a very poor job of doing it.
Well, if they can steal it, they'll do it.
Yeah, see, that's what makes me think they got something in the wings for the midterms. But, see, they're doing a very poor job of trying to win the midterms. I mean, I'm predicting it. And, you religious people out there, I'm not saying that God told me. I'm not saying that. This is just my opinion that there is going to be a red wave in the next couple of months because you can't look at the condition this country is in and think it's going to be something other than a red wave.
Vince,
if there's a red wave,
go ahead.
If it's a red wave, the people have to make these politicians do what they are told to do and was sent there for. That's the big problem. Conservatives sit on their butts and they don't make these politicians do the thing that they should be doing.
Well, here's the thing, Bianchi and Vince. We got to remember this. Donald Trump lost the election not by however million phony votes they say he lost it by. He lost the election by between 33,000 and 40,000 votes in three states, Georgia, Wisconsin, and Michigan. If the vote totals had changed by 33,000 votes in those three states alone, then the outcome of the election would have been entirely different. The other votes wouldn't have mattered. Doesn't matter how many he would have lost by if in a so-called popular vote. If there had been a 33,000 vote outcome, the election would have been different. And those are the very states where you're hearing all the controversy about election fraud coming up in.
Yep.
But we got to keep that in mind as we go forward to the next election. It doesn't take a lot of votes to throw an election. It really doesn't, since we got an electoral college system. All they got to do is identify those states that are the center of gravity. It was five states in this last election. Only five. Not the other 45, because they weren't that much in dispute. Five states were in dispute. Georgia, Arizona, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan. Think about it. That's what we got to watch out for, be on the lookout for, because it's an electoral system. And oddly enough, even as the leftists learn how to manipulate it, they want to abolish it.
Yeah, exactly.
They want to manipulate it, sure, but they want to abolish it. because it's not democratic, which is true. It isn't democratic because the Constitution wasn't intended to be a democracy. It was intended to be a representative constitutional republic with certain democratic elements. It isn't a democracy. It's a constitutional representative republic. And the Electoral College is one of the anti-democratic elements in the Constitution by design.
Who was it? It was a question that's been floating in my mind. Who was it that said that the government is but a necessary evil? Who was that said that?
I believe John Adams. I believe the government is an evil but a necessary evil or something. I believe it's John Adams.
Yeah, and see, that's why they came up with the Constitution, was to put the was to keep the government in check. You know, and when I see the government, I imagine a lizard, and a lizard among a bunch of cats. And we all know that cats love lizards. I mean, they love them, and I'm not talking about taking them out to dinner either. I'm talking about making them dinner. Now, what we're seeing is that lizard is transforming into Godzilla. And we all know what happens in the Godzilla movies. Godzilla comes, he starts stomping Japan, they bring out their tanks and everything. Nothing can stop Godzilla, you know. I mean, every movie you see Godzilla in, they firing it. I'm like, why are y'all bringing the tanks? Y'all know that's not going to work against them. You know, you send your jet fighters and everything. But see, that's how I see big government. It's getting so big that when, you know, when it transforms the country, you can't just sit there and say, oh, wait a minute, this is not what we wanted. Oh, we want our country back. Oh, no, it's too late then. It's too late then. You can't vote them out. So, you know, we need to work at, you know, instituting the Constitution. We need to work on getting back to the Constitution and keeping our government in check, so our government won't transform into some monster that we can't even defeat, you know. Well, and that's basically all this is about, you know, is fighting for the control of the country.
Well, we got to reemphasize to people what the constitutional government is, and this is what we got to keep stressing to people. The most important aspect of the constitutional government is, one, we the people. Number two, sovereign states. And lastly, the federal government. Now, the federal government has certain defined duties that are contracted out to it by the states and the people, and it's supposed to be limited to those roles. Anybody who tells you that the federal government is supreme over the states, particularly in all things, is either lying, ignorant, or disingenuous. That is
Amen,
not
brother.
True.
Amen.
And that was never the design.
Amen, brother.
That's right.
We got to keep stressing this to people. They think, oh, well, the federal government's over the states. Since when? The states created the federal government.
Exactly. And that's instituted in the Constitution. I think it's the 14th Amendment? I need to brush up on my Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights is the first, first
the
10
first
amendments.
First 10 amendments is the Bill of Rights.
Yeah, first 10 amendments is the Bill of Rights. And,
the Bill of Rights was made up by people like Patrick Henry, for one. Give me liberty or
give me death. Yep. And he's a Virginia boy.
Again, I like to remind people the anti-democratic elements of the Constitution are constantly being reinforced by design. Due process is something everyone is entitled to, no matter what the majority might want to vote upon. They might want to vote upon the worst child molester imaginable, and they want to take him out and lynch him without due process, but everybody is entitled to due process before you deprive him of his life, liberty, or property. Everybody's entitled to due process first.
Exactly.
That's the anti-democratic element in the Constitution. It is not a democracy. We got to keep telling these people this.
That's why them people who are in jail for January 6th, you know, they haven't been given due process. Someone needs to tell them that. They haven't been given their due process. You got people in jail for 10 years. They ain't even do anything on January 6th.
You're absolutely right. Tell it.
They just walked into the building when the door, and the police held open the doors for them, and they walked in the building and wandered around the lobby and took selfies, and they're being charged with criminal trespass, and they're being held in custody for what's becoming years now. federal misdemeanors.
Damn right. The same thing with a hate crime. When in the hell do you get life for a hate crime? And most of the thing you're going to get is simple battery.
Yeah.
Well, we saw what happened in the Ahmaud Arbery case that Naj is trying to cite to me. When you strip away all the rhetoric, it was basically a manslaughter case. And I've never seen two people with no criminal record assigned a life sentence for manslaughter.
Exactly.
I never heard of such a thing, ever. I'm trying to think when I ever heard anybody get life for manslaughter. I can't think of any.
I've never heard of that either. And let's not forget Mr. Chauvin, who put his knee on the neck of George Floyd. He was charged with murder and manslaughter. And I'm sitting there, how can you be charged with murder and manslaughter? I mean, it's either one or the other, you know. But once again, they got to push
well,
that rhetoric.
Well, you know, they just look, we've been talking for a long time, and I have because I pay attention. Blacks in power, we use that power in racist ways. That Arbery trial should have been moved to another venue. Hell, you ain't going to get no fair trial if you're white in that venue anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Totally agree.
There were so many things about that case that were problematic from a legal standpoint. I don't even know where to begin. It was clearly driven by the angst and the anxiety in the aftermath of St. George Floyd's death.
Yeah.
There's all the way to point it.
George Floyd, the landlord.
St. George.
St. George.
I mean, how many soldiers coming back from Afghanistan, the 13 that died in Afghanistan, how many of them got a gold-plated casket, huh?
I mean, really. I mean, for real. Guys, I hate to do this, but I'm almost on my 2-hour mark and everything.
Catch Irondale on the show, but I'm gonna give it to him, man. Where is he at? Absent.
Yeah, he didn't show up today. Yeah, I'm gonna let him know.
Who didn't show up today?
Irondale. Yeah, Irondale was telling me this week. He said, "Vincent, I'm getting sick of." Going on that show and you and Pianchi getting up on me. but Iredale knows it's all in fun. He knows that. He knows it's all in fun. So
I do think though, Vince, you should let Naj come on and let him have his way because it's so easy to expose what he does. See, he's a smart guy. He's well educated. He's intelligent. I'm sure he knows what truth is. But he has chosen to give himself to the forces of the dark side. But
guys
like him are the
nomenclatura.
They are the ones who are going to be administering this new brave new world if they succeed. And we need to know their deceits, their conceits, and their deceptions. Let them speak.
Yeah. And if you all run into Naj again, tell him he's welcome on the show again. But you know, just.
And when he don't behave, kick his ass off. That's what they do me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not
I mean,
him.
I'm like, hey,
them shows
you
do
come
me
on
like
this
that.
Show. Yeah, you come on this show, you know, you don't come up here with the straw man arguments and everything. You know, just come on here and just make your point and, you know, we'll go from there. You know, I'm not here like I say at the beginning of every show, I say, look, I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. You just need to season your comments well with respect. But when you come up here and you know, make some false accusations that he was making today, you know, hey, that's telling me you don't respect
him. Well, I'm going to tell you something, Vince. Naj is one of the guys, he's typical of the kind of guys who are behind Joe Biden's administration. They're the ones who are running it. Guys who think like Naj are the ones who are running this administration. When you hear somebody like Naj, you're hearing the people behind the scenes who are actually running this administration.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well,
give me your number some way or another. And sorry that the story I texted to you a few minutes ago. If you got Vincent's number, share it with him. But
I'll take a look at it.
Thank you, right. You guys have a happy rest of the weekend and be safe.
All right. Y'all do the same. Thank you guys for coming on.